Today on another soul-scorching episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. In this busy central New York hotel, the living were bustling up and down the elevators and halls every day. But one of these people seemed to stand out in an indescribable way to one of the housekeepers. What was it about this man who wore a red coat day after day? And why did it seem impossible to ever get a good look at his face? Was he a guest at the hotel? Or was he the resident spirit, blending in with the living, only to be seen by a select few? We asked the question and more. Today on this chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And, of course, write in your story at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, which is what we've created over the last nearly 10 years, as well as advanced episodes of the program and exclusive episodes for our supporters, we call them EPPs, Extra Podcast People. Then sign up to be one. It's only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of that. We do greatly appreciate your support. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Hey, I was at an event yesterday that it's called a healing circle, and it has a little bit to do with spirituality and woo-woo and all that kind of stuff. I've never gone to one before. My sister invited me along and I went. And the reason why I bring it up is because at the end, we had to go around and introduce ourselves, which, you know, is one of my least favorite things in the world to do. So I introduced myself, told them a little bit about me and ghost hunting and all that kind of stuff. So at the very end, somebody said, I want to hear some stories. So I got to tell a couple of stories, and then it almost turned into like a live version of this podcast because everybody had a ghost story to tell.
Yes.
And, you know, this person saw that and that person experienced this. And what do you think about that? It was actually kind of cool, to be honest. I'm already set up to go to next month's because I think that could be really fun. But
what I want to do, and maybe you could do them too if you wanted to, is start doing campfire nights where it's a ticketed event, and basically you sell, I don't know, 20 tickets or so, and it's through Zoom or Skype or something. That it's an exclusive invite. People pay whatever to get into it, and then it's moderated by you or me, and then people share their stories, and it's done in front of a campfire or something, you know. I thought about like actually just doing it out by my campfire pit and just setting up cameras and stuff and me and Harp hosting it. But I think that'd be really fun to do. I think the audience would really love it. And it'd be a really kind of a cool one-on-one, you know, intimate like night where we could all tell our stories and talk about them and go back and forth. And I think that'd be kind of fun to do in summer. So if you want to do that, because I have been dropping the ball on that idea for the last year, let me know. And, there would be another way that, you know, be part of the show and, you know, make some more money too, you know, hosting something like that. But I think it'd be really cool.
I'll get a flashlight so I can put it under my chin.
Exactly.
And all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be like Todd doing a Blair Witch Project throughout the night. He'll even wear the little cap and,
maybe I'll get some puppets to act out some of the scenes. It'll be great.
Do it claymation style, actually. Get claymation. It would be wonderful, wonderful. But I think that'd be really kind of fun to do. I mean, the idea kind of came at the beginning of COVID. So that's how long I've been brewing on this. I should have been doing it 2 years ago. But the thing is, what's kind of neat about it was kind of an obscure idea at first because there wasn't a lot of online events. Now everybody's doing online events. So it's like, I should have just done this back then. But yeah, I think that would be a fun thing to do. So anyway, that may be something coming up soon, everyone. So stay tuned here to find out and press subscribe. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First story, about 12 years ago now, I was working as a housekeeper in a larger, pretty busy hotel in a two-college city in the central New York area. Most days are pretty uneventful, paranormally speaking. Every so often, I'd see something or hear something or leave a room and come back to find things out of place. I was mostly just writing it off as paranoia or forgetfulness. However, one day was particularly creepy, so I want to tell you about this. I don't know if it would be classified as a technical ghost story. If not, then I'm not sure what it would be called. But here it goes. Started right from the beginning of the day, as soon as I arrived at work. Part of the housekeeping practice is to prop the door open of the room you're using, your vacuum cleaner. That was a strict rule. If you're cleaning a room that still has people staying in it, but we generally follow this practice in empty rooms too, just so that fellow housekeepers or guests could easily see where we were if they needed anything. So I'm going about the normal routine, cleaning, my door propped with a vacuum, and every so often I'd see a flash of red pass outside the door of the room that I was cleaning. Like someone wearing a red coat or shirt. It's walking fast. I didn't think anything of it at first until it kept happening. Then I started to think, well, that's kind of weird. Kind of the same feeling as when you happen to randomly look at the clock when it's reading 11:11 or 3:33 or 5:55 several times a day. It happened several times while I was cleaning each of my rooms. Eventually, it became distracting and a bit annoying. I would just catch the flash out of the corner of my eye. After a while, I started going to look out the door each time for the person wearing red that must have just passed by the open door. But there was no one. Every time I looked, there was no one in the immediate area of my room and no reason or cause to explain why I kept seeing that flash of red. Eventually, I started closing doors to the room I was in or kept them propped up, but only by little hinge locks on the door. I remember thinking to myself, there, now I won't see whatever that is that's passing by. And I went back to work. I got through a few rooms with no problems. Then I started seeing flashes of red passing outside the windows. I passed it off as maybe one of the maintenance workers or one of the guys who did the lawn care or landscaping or whatever. I just knew it had to be someone that was wearing a shirt, red hoodie, or red jacket of some kind, based on the height at which I kept seeing the flash. Like it wasn't down near the floor or up near the ceiling, it was right about the height of an adult. After this happened a few times, seeing that flash of red outside the window, I started closing the drapes as well. Moving on to the second floor, I left the drapes open but still let the door close, held only by the hinge latch so the door didn't close completely. When I continued to see that red flash pass the second story windows, I was past the idea of being paranoia or some kind of trick of the light or my imagination. I had no idea what to make of it, so I decided to ignore it. Seems pretty calm so far. That's about to change. When I tell you I was terrified, you better believe I mean absolutely terrified. For someone that has always had an interest in the paranormal and has had several experiences with ghosts, spirits, and strange things going on for a majority of my life, it takes quite a bit to rattle me. So I was alone in an empty room doing my cleaning things, lights on, drapes closed, door cracked, held by the latch, bed stripped, waiting to be made. I was in my bathroom on my knees, leaning over the edge of the tub, scrubbing that. Whatever was causing the flash of red must have gotten upset that I was not that I was now ignoring that, because as I was leaning over, clean the tub, I hear, right next to my ear, a deep, creepy, angry, gravelly voice yell, "Hey!" When I yell, it was so loud that it vibrated the bathroom. I could feel the vibration of it through the floor and the glass, drinking glass that's always kept by the sink, rattled against the marble countertop. A little shampoo and conditioner bottle I had set out in the corner shook and vibrated off the edge and fell to the floor. A spray bottle of cleaning solution that I had set on the lid of the toilet also vibrated off and fell to the floor, and the spray nozzle cracked, spilling the contents. My heart was racing, pounding so hard I could barely breathe. It felt as if all the air was taken from my lungs and the surrounding area. I stumbled up and out of the room into the hallway. Instantly, I took out my cell phone and texted my sister, who also worked as a housekeeper at the hotel. "Where are you?" She sent a room number, and "Why?" I texted back. "Holy shit! You won't believe what just happened. I need you to get here now." I sent her the room number. When she met up with me in the hallway outside the room I just left, I was pacing back and forth in the hallway. My heart was still pounding and I was shaking, physically shaking from the fear of this experience. When I told her about what had happened, starting from the flashes of red outside the door and then the flashes of red outside the window downstairs, then the flashes outside the second floor windows and ending with that loud, angry voice, she stared at me with her mouth open for a moment. Then all she could say was, "Jesus." Later on, we shared that experience with some of the other housekeepers and kind of find out several of them had had experiences to varied extents all over the hotel, but none of them heard a voice like the one I had or experienced any happenings having to do with the color red. Interesting story. Thoughts on that?
Well, they start the story off by saying, I don't know if this is a ghost story. No, no, that is a ghost story.
That's a ghost story.
A great ghost story.
Yeah.
Really crazy. And it's not the first time that I've heard people say, like, when they try to ignore something, it's almost like the energy or the spirit gets stronger or more forceful with what they're trying to do. They're trying to get your attention for some, you know, reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting, too, that other people have had experiences in the hotel, but nobody ever talked about them until finally somebody had just this crazy experience. And then people started opening up about it. So that's a great story.
No, it really is. What makes me, you know, like we see all these stories now on TV too, where it's like nurses share their ghost story or ghost stories from police or this or that. Housekeepers, I think, would probably have a lot of ghost stories, quite honestly, from some of these older hotels and such.
Yeah, there's so much energy in that stuff. Even like somewhat newer hotels, I think you've got all those people that come in and stay and who knows what they're involved with and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be very surprised if you took like 10 housekeepers or even just people who worked at a hotel and asked them each if they've had experiences. I'd be surprised that if not over half had said that they had some experiences in those hotels.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So many interesting stories in places like that. So I had a flashback to the past over the weekend. I was attending a wedding and it kind of went a little haywire. And the DJ, I was the coordinator of the wedding. It was a friend that asked me to do that. I'm like, okay. But it went well. I mean, everything that I was in charge of went down good. But then there was a little bit of drama later in the night and there weren't many people left on the dance floor. But the DJ was there. So I was talking with the DJ and I was like, yeah, I know I used to do this years ago. And it's like I've never worked with like the setup where it's like the digital turntables and all that.
Right.
Like it looks neat. But I other than like cue and play, I'm like, I don't know what all this does. And he's like, dude, you know, I got to go grab my stuff from down by where they did the ceremony. You know, can you take this over for a little bit? I'm like, show me how they work this. Like, how do I load everything? So he shows me and I get it going. But then he forgot that it was tethered to his phone, which he took with him for the online access to things. So all of a sudden, I'm like trying to load music up. It's like, no connection. I'm like, where's the CDs? Where's the mini discs? Where's this? And there's nothing to load anything into, but I did figure out on the board how to load some things. So I did that and I was DJing a wedding for about 30 minutes on Saturday night.
And isn't it the worst feeling? Like,
you
don't know what you're doing. It's like one of those bad dreams you have, one of those bad radio dreams.
It was because nothing was working. And I'm like, how does this, it was the actual manifestation of that. Now, there wasn't a big dance floor that was going to be emptied or anything, but I still wanted to keep the music going. And it's like, I kept having errors on this board. It was like, I can't do this, can't do that. And I'm just like, damn, I wish I could just have like the fucking mini discs backwards. Like you couldn't, although those would overheat too sometimes, and then we couldn't play those. But it was, then I got it figured out just in time. But it was kind of fun. It was like, well, this is, you know, and then he's like, would you ever do this again? I'm like, hell no.
No, 30 minutes is enough for the rest of my life.
I'm like, I'm right good. There. He's like, why wouldn't you? Because I said, because I've graduated from this. Like, I did it long enough. And I mean, it was fun for 30 minutes. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't miss it at all. And in fact, I think I did a wedding like maybe in the last 5 years or something.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, it was for a very good friend, and I DJ, but I think I had somebody helping me out. I can't remember. But at any rate, yeah, I just hate them. Like, I hate worrying about what song you're going to play next. Yeah. I hate worrying about all that. I don't want to do the bridal march. I don't want to do any of that kind of crap. If I'm going to be at a wedding, I want to be, you know, half in the bag.
Yeah. And it's so different now, too, because the last one was probably like 20 years ago for me. So I don't even know I don't know current music. And a lot of them like wanted some current stuff. I'm like, I don't fucking know what anybody is. So I don't even know like how to trend. So I literally just went back in time and I started playing the stuff I wish I could have played at weddings back then. So I was doing like Snoop Dogg and Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. and all the stuff that would have been like, you can't play that at a wedding. But now it's like oldies. So like, I can do that. But I don't know. I was having those nightmarish moments of like, nothing's loading. What's going on? I'm like, oh, Jesus. But yeah, it was going back in time. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
My name's Emily. I'm calling from Beaver, Pennsylvania. And I just wanted to tell a couple of series of events that happened to me on this one day that my sister and I visited a small town near Calcutta, Ohio. So basically, this area is known for its paranormal activity, just different sightings that have happened throughout the park of Beaver Creek. And so didn't know too much about it whenever we were heading on our way there. And as we were approaching the park, I noticed that I felt this very cold presence, but just on one certain part of my leg. And whenever I mentioned it to my sister, she gasped and said, oh my gosh, I felt the same exact thing on my leg. And so if that wasn't weird enough, we just, went about our way. We pulled into the park. We got out and took a picture of this house that is supposed to be haunted by this woman who lost her fiance, which is a whole story in itself. But we took pictures of this house just to see if we could see anything after we left the park later on. But took pictures and my camera kept shutting off, and I tried to what pictures I could take. Later on, I noticed that there were just a whole bunch of orbs. Now, I don't know what you guys' thoughts on orbs are, but covered in orbs like it was a blizzard outside. And I will tell you, it was not snowing and it was not raining. There wasn't anything that the camera lens could have been reflecting upon to make these dots appear everywhere, but very weird. Also, something else that really freaked me out that I didn't notice until days later after looking at the pictures again, there was a kind of a cutout figure of a human. It was a white figure, but only half of a body sticking out from behind this building. And I just remember being so creeped out and just zooming into this picture like, that is definitely an outline of a human body. Not sure what that's all about. Didn't see anything whenever my sister and I were there. So very weird. Then we proceeded into the woods of the park, and there's like an old lock from the early 1900s. And the one girl, again, a whole nother story in itself, was buried there for a while after she had passed away, and apparently she haunts the lock. So my sister and I walked around there, and then as we were coming back to the car, I noticed that my flashlight was no longer working. And we just bought these flashlights. There's no excuse that the flashlight was going out. And again, the camera that was going on and off as well wasn't able to take pictures. And then, which is probably the weirdest thing out of this whole entire experience, was my sister went to go and unlock the car, and it wasn't an automatic car. You had to insert the key and twist it to unlock the car, and the key actually twisted, like the metal twisted on the key to the point where it almost snapped. So she pulled it out carefully, examined the key, and we're both just in shock, like, how did this happen? She's had that car forever. That's never been an issue. It wasn't jammed. It's just very odd. So we carefully had to insert the key to, you know, start the car and get home. Just very, very weird things that happened that day. But later on, we discovered that this the Hauntings of Beaver Creek has a website, and it mentioned something along the lines where if you feel a cold presence on you, it's the woman who haunts that house, taking your youth and making you older so she can get younger. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just thought that was very weird, especially since my sister and I had experienced that. So I don't know if you'll use my story, but it's one of my favorite ones. I'll have to call back in for some more ghost stories, because I feel like I have a lot of them, but there's one for starters. All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for sharing your story with us. Thoughts on all of that?
Just one of those days where everything seemed to be going wrong. And it's not uncommon when you're dealing with spirits and energy for them to affect things like flashlights and cameras and all that kind of stuff. I've never heard them be able to manipulate or influence a key in a lock. But, I mean, who's to say that can't happen too? So it's just a very weird series of events all based on that one day.
What's interesting about that, there's so many things now with like keys and locks. I was just looking at them today. Of getting another one of the digital ones. I would think that, you know, if you can manipulate something electronic, that would be a great one to do, is the digital type thing.
Right.
Like the keypads and such. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. What's your thoughts on when a celebrity dies, and you might know what I'm talking about, when suddenly it's like, somebody immediately starts trying to communicate with the dead celebrity, and it just seems kind of, I don't know, tasteless. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, I don't know exactly, like, is there a specific situation that you're talking about?
I haven't. It came to mind because I just saw an interesting headline, but it's not necessarily about this artist. But I've seen some people where, like, immediately, I remember, like, after Anthony Bourdain died, this guy was, like, doing YouTube videos claiming he's communicating with Anthony Bourdain. Or insert almost anyone here. Is that something, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know how to feel about it. Because part of me feels like this is, like, kind of cashing in on someone's death. The other thing is, like, well, maybe they actually are kind of, you know, communicating with this person who just kicked it. But why would they want to talk to this ghost guy in the middle of nowhere versus, you know, family or things of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, who knows the real answer to that? I would like to think that when we die, whether we're a celebrity or not, we're going to, our energy is going to go where it wants to go. And I'm not sure that Joe Blow in Arkansas or in Nebraska or in Wichita or wherever it is, that they're going to be able to pull us in. You know, I tend to think it would be nice when people die to give them a little space, you know, and whether it's a celebrity or not, I just think there's a time to kind of let that stuff wait for a little while before you try and do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me think about it. The reason I mean, this has nothing to do with that concept, but I just thought it was interesting. I just saw another radio person from our pasts that I don't think you ever worked with directly, but he posted something from USA Today headline. Okay. It's a picture of Naomi Judd, and the headline on the story, actress Josara Gennaro, who appeared in Judging Amy in ER, dies at 48 after cancer battle.
What?
It's a Naomi Judd picture with the headline of a different death on USA Today.
That's sad. And just before we recorded this, I found out that Naomi apparently committed suicide, which is very, very sad. Yeah, it was just out before we started recording this that she committed suicide because of mental illness.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
So, yeah.
For a moment there, I was thinking you said, my mind went to Winona, that like, oh God, Winona just killed herself now.
No, I'm sorry, Naomi.
Naomi. Okay. No, you said Naomi. My mind just went after that. I saw it was because the way that they worded it was she lost her battle with mental illness. Which that's immediately what I would assume as well. Just another, you know, another reason why, you know, we just, there needs to be so much more attention to that. We focus on every single ailment we have, but we don't focus much on our brains, and that's sad.
You're right. You're right.
It's like that. That's a place that needs some attention and should not be a stigmatized thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, let's go over to this caller. Hi.
I love your show. It keeps me entertained for many hours on a daily basis, so thank you for that. I just wanted to share a couple of experiences that I think you'll really get a kick out of. So ironically, I work at a haunted house / horror attraction here in upstate New York. So for 3 to 4 days every week for 5 or 6 weeks a year, I spend a large chunk of my time surrounded by complete chaos. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, and our entire cast of actors really take their job seriously. So anyway, I'd heard some brief chitter-chatter from the actors about the place being haunted. Really didn't think anything of it because it was an abandoned factory. So obviously, this type of building gives people the creeps. So there's 4 different attractions with different themes. At the time, my brother and I were working together in biotech. My scene was small. I had my own little tiny cubby. On the table in front of me, there's a body, chest cavity completely ripped open. And on the other side of that table is a narrow hallway where our paying victims are scurrying through trying to finally reach the exit. Well, there's a maze-like hallway that leads to my scene, but it's pitch dark, minus the occasional flicker from nearby strobe lights that really didn't make much of a difference anyway, because they really weren't all that bright. So I'm in my cubby, waiting for the next group, and I'm looking in the hallway that they'd be coming from, and I notice a black shadow forming and leaning in as if they were peeking around the wall. So I was really well hidden. So I went ahead and peeked over the little peephole that I have, and which is right where they would be standing if they were peeking around the corner. So nobody was there. And I popped my head back in and looked at my scene just to see if maybe they had started walking to get to the next scene and I missed them. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I hop over the dead body and I run to the scene after mine and ask my brother if I had somehow missed a group. He had said no, that we hadn't had a group in about 5 minutes. So since then, I've really referred to him as the big man because the black mass was just large in general. And after explaining the experience to my coworkers, some had actually admitted to seeing the same thing in that specific attraction. So I'm not sure what's up with that or who it is, but it was interesting. And the next story is not mine personally, but my brother's. He and 3 other co-workers gathered in one scene just talking while waiting for the next group. They had noticed a small shadow, which was kind of childlike, staring at them from behind a table. They had all agreed that they had seen it and started towards it, and it just disappeared. Later on, we spoke to the owner of the haunted attraction, who we are actually really good friends with now. And he had said that he had had a medium do a sweep of the factory. And she said that there were 2 little boys, a tall man and a woman. She said that there were a few others, but she couldn't figure out who or what the rest of them were. She also said, or he also said rather, that he had had paranormal investigators come in and stay overnight. And they actually caught something both on video and EVP. But those stories are for a different time. Thank you for listening. Sorry it was kind of lengthy, but I'd love to hear what you guys think. I'll call in with a few more stories if you'd like. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. Then it goes to the harshest static in the world, and I tried to pot it down really quick.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell that was. But anyway, thoughts on that?
I love stories about factories because I think people, when you think haunted places, you always think of houses,
yeah,
and old libraries. But there's a lot of groups that investigate factories and stuff like that. And the more you think about it, think of the amount of work and labor that went into a lot of these old buildings, the amount of electricity that was there, and probably death, especially if they were older factories before there was, safety and all, before OSHA became a thing. Yeah. So, those places are just as ripe for paranormal activity as any other place. So I'm not surprised that they would see shadows and stuff like that in a location like that. It is cool, though, that they're doing a haunted attraction and there's actual hauntings going on. I think that's great.
That is always an interesting thing to me. And I've had people on the other show, The Grave Talks, before, who talk about attractions that they've worked at that were, in fact, also haunted locations. And a lot of them constantly have things where it's like, yeah, that wasn't part of the show, but somebody came out and talked about it. And it's like, wow. Factories are interesting. I think they'd be very good places for residual energy, especially where it's a lot of the factory type work where it's just same thing over and over and over. You're on the line assembly. And people spent, 30, 40 years or longer doing those sort of work. Sometimes there's injuries and all that. And just the repetitiveness, I think, would be such a battery almost for things.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. A lot of residual. And I'm sure that there might be some other stuff going on there as well. I've never had the opportunity to actually experience it in a factory, but there is a, there's like a tanning hide place or a tanning factory or something like that in Berlin. Is not far from here.
Yeah.
And they have groups come through all the time to take a look at the hauntings out there. I still have to do that.
So. Really? I've heard like mumblings about that place being haunted. I don't think, is it still in use? Do they still do it?
As of the last 5 years, I think they were still doing it, unless something has changed since then.
I just remember I dated a girl out there in high school, and it smelled horrible by that thing. It was just like the worst smell, because you're tanning, flesh. And Oh my God. And then right down the road from it is that church that is now an antique place.
Ah,
that's the coolest damn antique store in the world. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is, I think it's an old Catholic church, and it's very ornate. It's beautiful inside. And now it's an antique store. And then there's what I find creepy. The most creepy part about that place, it's not so much even the chapel itself. It's the hallways that go down towards the classrooms. That area feels very dark to me.
There's something about churches and especially Catholic that have the schools attached and stuff like that. Yeah. There's always seems to be a lot of residual stuff there and investigations that I've been a part of when churches are involved. There tends to be a lot of activity and I have my speculation on why that is, but that particular town is very interesting because it's right on the river too. So you got that moving water around there and it goes way back in time. A lot of cool stuff in that little crazy town.
There is. It's a very interesting town to wander around. Very, very unique. I think there's a bowling alley out there too that's very much retro, like super. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What is that one? You know what it's called?
I can't remember the name of it.
I remember going there. I mean, this was 20 years ago, but it was like back then it was super old. It was like from like the 40s or 50s style of everything, but it was still all running. And it was like 3 or 4 lanes. It really wasn't big, but it was like you were going back in time. And it was so neat. I think I found it once because I was like searching it and trying to find suggestions. But I think I uncovered the name of it was once, but I never got a chance to go back to it. But interesting place. One of those places that really kind of takes you to a different place in time. A lot of
the only one that the only thing I can find there is something called Berlin Lanes. So I don't know if that's the one that we're talking about, but it's just right off the main drag in Berlin, right, literally 2 blocks from the river that I was talking about.
Yes, it's right down there. It's in the downtown. It's not big. It's like a bar that has a couple bowling lanes is really what it is. But yeah, it was a neat place. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.